ladies and gentlemen, Jason Halopoulos said, "We are sinners living under the same roof in tight quarters. That is a recipe for disaster, or at least pain. Can somebody say amen right there?" But he is not finished. And I really believe people need to realize this. Stop these little dreamland thoughts about your family. You're a bunch of sinners in one house in tight quarters, man, and that spells disaster every day, or at least pain. I have shared with you that going home for Thanksgiving can be a very painful thing for people. Quite frankly, some people ought not to go home for Thanksgiving because it's just too painful. It's worse than a funeral. That's right. It'd be better. I hate to say it, but for some folks, it'd be better to come home for or to go home for a funeral than to go home for Thanksgiving. It's so sad. I hope that's not the case for your family. But anyway, he's not finished. He goes on to say, let me just repeat what he's already said. I want you to get this, because rarely do people understand this common sense idea, this common sense thought. And people don't want to deal with this, but you need to deal with this. You need to understand this, because if you are aware of it, then you can fend against it and avoid a whole lot of family problems and issues. And one of the ways that you can avoid that is just don't be bringing up a whole lot of mess about nothing, like some mothers like to do, and some grandmothers like to do. Oftentimes the father does not want to do that, or the grandfather, but we got some fathers and grandfathers who like to bring up mess, to try to put their children in their place and other such foolishness. And so avoid that. But anyway, he says, we are sinners living under the same roof in tight quarters. That is a recipe for disaster, or at least pain. Now, you need to mark this quote in your mind. In the words of Charles McKinney, stick that in your hat, take that with you. We know our family members, and we know them well. Amen, somebody up in here. Family worship helps us confront our sin and understand its effect upon one another. Now, this is one of the most powerful quotes that we have ever shared regarding family devotions. You take that with you. You understand this, and therefore guard yourself against family disaster and family pain, and have family worship every day. Have family devotions every day so that you can, and listen, when you have family devotion, stop avoiding the sin issue. We got this group of Christians running around here trying to avoid the idea that Satan is attacking the family, trying to avoid the sin in the family that is right there in front of everybody. Deal with those issues right there and you'll have a happier family. The devil is seeking to destroy your family. And then you have your own flesh seeking to destroy your family. So you need to confront these issues in devotion. One of the reasons why our devotions lasted so long is because when God told me to deal with something while I am in prayer, I dealt with it right then. One of the powerful things about family devotions is that the Lord will tell you while you're praying what needs to be done. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we thank you for this powerful word. It's a common sense word from this gentleman. And Lord, I pray that people would take heed to it and apply it to their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. We're now at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6 is the passage of scripture that my family, along with other scriptures, read every day to remind everybody in the family of our duties and our obligations and what God wants us to do. And I'm in the process of just breaking it down verse by verse, sentence by sentence, phrase by phrase, word by word, here a little, there a little. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Dr. Thomas Constable writes in his expository notes on the Bible regarding this verse. This verse, he says, and the following two verses apply the truth just stated in verses 25 through 27. Since in marriage two people become one flesh, in a figurative sense, a man's wife becomes part of his own body. So this is why divorce is so painful. You can say what you want. You can try to laugh it off and joke it off and party it off and get drunk it off and get high it off, all you want. But when you come down off your high, when you come down off your drunken stupor, when you come down off of your partying with your girlfriends or your buddies, because of the divorce, trying to make it a happy time, when you get back to your place and your buddies are not around and your girlfriends are not around, you're going to find that more bitter than death will be a divorce, a separation. Because you become one whether you like it or not. And it's like tearing your flesh apart when you're getting a divorce and you've been married. So it's not laughy time. It's not a fun time, my friends. People who have been divorced, they will tell you to this day, 5 years later, that it's like a death. It's a grieving process that lasts a long time. And in many cases, it lasts all their lives, for the rest of their lives. And so we got some Christians today who are tossing that around like it's a little ball, it's a little fun thing they can just do and get over it and get hooked up with another devil. And that's just not the case, my beloved. You don't believe it? Just go ahead and separate. You'll see. That person that you think you hate, they will have a hold on you. They will have a hold on you. Yes, oh yes. That person you think you despise, man, it's like a cord that ties you together. You try to pull away, that cord will not break because God put you together. And it's an ugly situation when you try to break it, man. And it's never broken, see. When you see them again, you're supposed to have another wife, another girlfriend, and the other party's supposed to have another boyfriend, another husband. You see each other again, that bond is still there. And that connection is still there. And your new little wifey, which is not really your new little wifey, it's just a name only. Your new little husband, little boyfriend, they get jealous. You know why? Because they know there's a bond there that can't be broken. When that woman in this new relationship, and she's divorced, she's looking out after being involved with this person for a little while. She's looking out the window. It's raining outside. She's just looking out the window. And here come Bo Peep. And he says, "What's wrong, darling?" And he sees a tear rolling down her eyes. She's thinking about her husband and how that she could have made that work. She misses the things her husband did for her that little Bo Peep can't do. And she's thinking about the children and how hurt they are and how she misses them because she's over there. Those three little children are with her husband and his new girlfriend, his new wife or whatever. And the oldest child sent a picture back of them having fun at the park with the new mother. And tears are flowing down the left side of her face because she misses her family. And there's nothing Bo Peep can say to comfort her. Divorce is a bad boy. Divorce is a very painful thing, my friends. You don't believe it, go on and try it. Because there's a bond there that God puts together. Consequently, the writer continues, husbands should love and treat their own wives as they love and treat their own bodies. As he does not think about loving himself because it is natural, so also should the husband's love of his wife be something that is as natural as loving himself. This is a natural thing. Yeah, if you love yourself, you ought to love your wife in the same way, as a part of your body, as a part of you. And whether you like it or not, she is a part of you. And he is a part of you, wife, and will forever be that way. Holy Father God, help husbands and wives, particularly Christian husbands and wives, to understand that separation and divorce is not an easy thing, and it is a very painful thing. And to help us to realize that we ought to love one another. The husband ought to love his wife as his own body. And the love ought to be natural. It ought to be real. And he ought to care for her as his own body. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, grant all of us your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do just that in our marriages and in our families. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage from the Holy Word of God today is Psalm 86, 8 through 10. The Bible reads, "Among the little g gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Holy Father God, help us to realize that you are God alone, and we should not be and we need to understand that you are the jealous God. And you don't want any other little g gods before you in our lives as your Christian people. So forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And Lord, deliver us from having any idols in our lives. Help us to always put you first. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in prayer for governmental leaders, for they need prayer. It is our job as Christians to pray for them, those who put themselves forth as governmental leaders in our country. We need to pray for them once they win, whoever they might be. We do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. How fitting it is to be able to read this verse on this Thanksgiving morning week, Thanksgiving weekday, Friday after Thanksgiving. Be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, help us to pray for all leaders, not only governmental leaders, but for leaders in every estate. And help us, Lord, to live godly, honest lives. Have mercy and grace upon us as your Christian people, and please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration, each member of the White House staff, leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, provision, blessings upon these people. And we pray that you'll give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight far beyond their abilities. We pray for James Mad Dog Mattis, that he would make the right decisions and do the right thing. We pray the same for the president. We pray for church leadership. We pray for all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon their lives. We pray that you'll give them unusual wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And Lord, we pray that you'll revive us again in the church and make us, Lord, to be the shining lights and witnesses that we should be. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for current events around the world. Lord, you know all about it better than we do. But you've commanded us to pray for others, and we pray for the deliverance of African migrants who are being auctioned off as slaves in Libya. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, deliver them from that awful situation. We pray for Zimbabwe, where they have sworn in a new president, and we pray that things would be better for the people. And we also pray regarding the situation. They have heard an explosion regarding the submarine situation. Lord, we don't know what's going on there. And there seems to be some lying and dishonesty about this whole matter. But Lord, we pray that you would comfort those families who just don't know what's going on with their family members and their loved ones. And Holy Father God, we pray for the family of the state trooper that was brutally shot to death not too far from here. And Holy Father God, have mercy and give that family comfort that only you can. Lord, we pray for the salvation of everybody involved. We pray for the media. We thank you for the house cleaning that you're doing in the media and in this country. We thank you, Lord, that evidently many of your saints are praying because you're laying down the boom, and it's good. We pray that you'll continue to expose the evil in every arena of life, the wickedness of old men molesting young women because of their power and their money and their prestige. And Lord, I do pray that you would continue to clean house. Save those who are lost in media. Revive those who are saved in media. And lead, guide, and direct them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Holy Father God, we count it a privilege to pray over prayer requests. And we thank you for the hundreds who have sent in prayer requests for us to pray over. And now we pray for a few. We pray for Naeem, keep him safe as he begins full-time ministry in Pakistan. We pray for Virginia, for her nephew to be released from prison, for her husband to stay employed, for her to become debt-free. Lord, we pray for Kenesha, bless her as a single mother, provide for her and her children, give her the right kind of job that pays well, lead her to a good church home. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray for Rick, we pray for Al, we pray for Christy. Help these to grow in the faith, help us to be the disciples of the disciples. And Lord, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. They heard the preaching of the gospel, realized that they were already saved, and have come back to you. We pray for Harry, Francis, and Ishwar. Help these to stand firm in the faith. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit these souls into your hands and our souls as well. Let your will be done. And Holy Father God, I thank you for all of my children once again, all being with me for Thanksgiving. And you have brought us from a mighty long way, and you've done wonderful things. And I pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon all of my children. Give them a vision for what you would have them to do in their lives. And help all of them to grow up and to go out and to do great things for your glory, even greater than what I have done, as I have encouraged them to do. And Lord, I pray the same prayer for all of the children of Christians across this country and around the globe, and for every Christian family. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled Planned for God's Pleasure, Part 1, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to say in Revelation 4:11, you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. That means, beloved, that you were created for God's pleasure. Amen, somebody. And so, a part of your purpose in life is to give God glory, praise, and honor, and pleasure. Psalm 149, he goes on to say, verse 4 says, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. You were planned for God's pleasure. the moment you were born into the world, God was there as an unseen witness, smiling at your birth. He wanted you alive, and your arrival gave him great pleasure. God did not need to create you, but he chose to create you for his own enjoyment, his own pleasure. You exist for his benefit, his glory, his purpose, and his delight. Bringing enjoyment to God, living for his pleasure, is the first purpose of your life. When you fully understand this truth, you will never again have a problem with feeling insignificant. It proves your worth. If you are that important to God, and he considers you valuable enough to keep with him for eternity, what greater significance could you have? Amen, somebody. You are a child of God, and you bring pleasure to God like nothing else he has ever created. The Bible says, because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his children. This was his pleasure and his purpose. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together that you have given to us for the 187th time to gather around your holy word and to pray in the early morning hours when there's a part of us that does not feel like doing that. Thank you for giving us the grace, the strength, and the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that and to do it this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to remember that we were created for your glory, your praise, your honor, and for your pleasure throughout this day. So we have a very significant life because you made it so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us, if you happened upon us through the www, the World Wide Web, and you understood some of the things I talked about, but other things you did not understand. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get to know him as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ has a word for you. He says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God wants you to be his child. In fact, he created you for his pleasure and for his glory. And he has given you a purpose in life. And so he loved you so much, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins and for mine. That's the reason why Jesus Christ died, because we are sinners. And because we are sinners and we have broken God's commandments, we're on our way to hell. So Jesus Christ died to save us from hell. He was buried and rose again. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved from hell and saved to heaven to spend eternity with God. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the hell your sin deserves. That's why Jesus Christ came and died for you and for me, because our sins were leading us to hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you will be saved. Pray and ask him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your commandments. I have dishonored my parents. I've disobeyed my parents. I have lied many times. I have stolen before. I have lusted after people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.